Seasons change. Why not your tech? Upgrade now during the Dell Technologies Summer Sale event and save on select PCs like the XPS 16 powered by Intel Core processors. You'll be able to bring your most intensive projects to life with built-in AI, minimalistic design, immersive visuals, and cinematic audio. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Amazing prices await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code POD.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The one, the only, the Hall of Famer, Bill Walton.
Yeah, here we go.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I haven't broken any Tesla windshields today. I'm on the Rich Eisen Show. So what could be better? It's a beautiful day in Southern California. I'm truly the luckiest guy in the world.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NBA reporter Dave McMenamin. Coming up, Arizona Cardinals radio voice Dave Pasch. Author Harlan Coben. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We just ended hour number one with our tribute to the late, I can't believe it, great Bill Walton, whose broadcast partner for the last 12 years on ESPN, Dave Pasch, will be joining us in 20 minutes' time. He's calling the Western Conference Finals game number four between the Mavericks and the Timberwolves tonight on ESPN Radio. So lots to talk about with Dave when he joins us. The prolific, to say the least, author and novelist Harlan Coben, whose 36th novel of his illustrious career is out where all books are sold, called Think Twice, another thriller from Harlan. He's on in hour number three. Hour number three, also, we will be giving our send-off to Angel Hernandez, the Major League Baseball umpire of note. That'll be in hour number three of this program. I wouldn't miss that if I were you. There'll be a door, and we'll be hitting somebody on the way out. That's the way we're going to say it and be as respectful as possible. So there's that.
Respectful is a word I would
no,
use.
No, no, we're going to do that. That's okay. We're going to do that.
That's okay.
Also, later on in this hour, a conversation amongst us about what I did Friday night with Suze and Taylor, my 10-year-old, going to a fantastic night at Crypto Arena when the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark came into town to take on Cameron Brink, the number two overall pick in the WNBA draft, in the and the crowd was just lit for the LA Sparks, but there were a lot of Iowa fans in the crowd. So we'll be talking about that. Certainly with Mike Del Tufo not here, we're going to crap all over him. That's going to be later on in this hour. Don't miss it. Hey, listen, man, that's what happened. You snooze, you lose. That's the way we roll. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Turzo in Iowa wants to chime in here. What's up, Turzo? All rise, all rise. All what's rise. Going on, Turzo?
What's up, guys? A couple things. I first want to hit on the Bill Walton loss. It's always difficult to really understand how complex a person is, especially like him. But you could just tell in everything he did that there was such a passion for his love of sports, for his love of people, for his love of music. And I think so many people could learn from him. And if they just paid a little bit more attention to kind of the levity that he would give to situations, just trying to bring people together. One of the greatest people that I've ever got to listen to. Never had the opportunity to ever meet him, but it was always a pleasure to listen to him on your show, Dan Patrick, or whenever he was doing a broadcast.
I'm with you. Well said, Turzo. Well said. Excellent summation, counselor. Yeah. What else is on your mind?
I appreciate it, Rich. Well, I'm looking forward to the game tonight. I kind of am leaning a little bit to the T-Wolves to pull this one out tonight and Dallas finish it off back home. But I think Brockman said it best earlier in the show that it's been kind of amazing how both Boston and Dallas have been just clutch whenever it comes to the last 7 to 8 minutes of the fourth quarter. And I think they've put the stranglehold. So I'm excited for this matchup if it's the one that that happens.
I'm with you. And thanks for the call, Terzo. Except I think the Mavericks complete the sweep tonight. I really feel it. But I'm rooting for the Timberwolves. I'd like to have more basketball in the next 9 days, to be straight up with
totally
you.
Agree.
I would love to see what a game five looks like. And if they send it back to Dallas for a game six, then obviously pressure begins to mount and things of that nature. I'd love to get that ball rolling. I saw also on my phone, I'm imagining it's true, over the weekend, there's only been over the last, let's put it 2024, so that's 2023, 2022. I think 2021 was the last conference finals that had somebody win a game in the first three to make it 2-1. Everything else has been 3-0.
Whew, wow.
It's been a while since the conference finals has been tight. So I'd like to get a little bit of that going. And plus, we're big fans of Cat here. He's joined the program multiple times.
Yep.
He seems like a great human. I have a feeling if the Timberwolves get swept, he's going to be the one that's going to eat it from the criticism front.
Him and Ant are both really struggling right now, but yeah, Cat's got
it. Well, I mean,
you saw
the Inside the NBA crew led by Draymond. By the way, I find it fascinating to me, and we do this all the time on NFL Network as well, and I have no problem when somebody joins us for the playoffs, you know, but I also feel like the guys on the set, we have the chemistry, like, let us do our thing and let somebody else come in every now and then. But Draymond is now a fifth chair on that set, which I find fascinating to me. You know, and he's got chops. There's no question about it. But certainly if we might not get more than just one more year out of these guys, let them do their thing. But that's another thing.
Yeah.
But Draymond was the one who basically was leading the charge of calling Cap on Cat, saying that he was taking 1,500 shots a day. Did you see that one?
Yeah, like he's getting his work in, and he's like, Cap.
And they all agreed, though. They were all on him. I mean, they were really all over him. And I have a feeling if they don't win tonight, he's going to be the one that's going to be just absolutely taking it from every possible angle, fair or not. Mm. So I'm rooting for the Timberwolves tonight.
Cat also in the Swish video.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, again,
he didn't have a scene with you two, but you watch the video at the very end, he comes through.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a while. You're one of the 685 million downloads of that.
I completely forgotten about it, too, until I rewatched it last night. And I was like, I forgot he was in this.
You know, it's interesting. Michael Kay's on tomorrow's show in studio at this very moment. We'll be chatting with him.
Oh,
he's
nice.
In town because he's calling Yankees Angels. And Coop and I are going to that game Wednesday night. We got the tickets on Game Time.
Boom.
Yes, indeed. Went to my app. Coop's like, I want to go to the game. I'm like, let's check out some tickets. And I got to see my view from the seat. I got to see how much the tickets cost right before I hit the purchase button, which is the all-in pricing feature that I love the most. Obviously, it's great to see your view from the seat as well. And if anybody wants to talk about going to the basketball finals and you're going to be in the Boston area for the finals, to start off, because we know it's going to start there in a couple Thursdays from now. You're thinking how cool it would be to go to the game? Use Game Time for making basketball finals tickets, getting them even easier and faster than you think. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down closer. As close as it gets to the tip-off. It's unbelievable. So as tip-off is closing in on it, you watch the prices go down. It's really remarkable. So take the guesswork out of buying basketball finals tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH, get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Game Time is the presenting sponsor of our podcast, including Overreaction Monday, which is out there for everybody to check out. It's only fitting that that's how we lead into this edition of Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Isn't it?
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
Hey.
Nobody talked over it.
Well done, everybody.
Nobody being me.
Way to lay out. Way to lay
What's
out.
Going on?
Hey, everybody good?
We're great.
DJ, you good?
Hey.
Great
well,
weekend?
You know, it was all right.
I saw Felly on a boat. That was fun.
Yeah, that was
very good.
Great.
Cool.
We
glad, glad you made it.
Great.
How about this? So I'm looking at...
Barely.
Who's still out there? Wide receivers. Nobody's getting the bag. Where's the bag?
Where's the bag?
What's in the bag?
We're very close to wide receivers being treated like running backs in the NFL.
I think you're onto something here.
Well, then who's going to play football? Just the quarterback?
No. Who's going to get
$30 million contracts?
I'm with you, man.
We're close.
I think you're onto something here. I was thinking that the other day. Coming back from the draft, actually.
Yeah.
When you're seeing all of these really talented kids at the wide receiver position getting chosen at the top of the draft and then second, third round, you're hearing the Jets talk about this kid they drafted out of Western Kentucky that they love so much.
That Roger said was
his favorite player in the draft.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly, but I mean, some are getting paid, and interestingly enough, AJ Brown, Debo Samuel, DK Metcalf are second round choices. Amon Ra, right deep in the draft.
Yeah.
But so some are getting paid, but. My only pushback here is that only like one or two running backs have gotten paid, and that's it. And they're not going to get paid like the receivers. Honestly, you can go either way on this one, that you're right. They're going to turn into running backs where they're suddenly like, hey, we don't need to pay you. We're just going to draft some kid and we're good.
Or
one of them is going to start getting paid like a quarterback.
Ooh, that's the other way.
That's the other way.
I mean, the salary cap keeps going up. Money's got to go somewhere.
Which you can't say about running backs. So I'll push back on this.
Fair.
But you're in the area code of proper reaction. I'll still call this an overreaction. Because Justin Jefferson's going to get that bag. And that's why Jerry should tell CeeDee Lamb, you're exempt from this all-in craziness. You're exempt. Because we know you're not the reason why we're not winning.
What are the chances Jerry Jones just kind of like said some stuff and he doesn't even remember it, and now the media runs with it like crazy?
I don't know.
Oh, I've been telling you. That's
okay. What else you got over there?
You know what I mean? All right. I was reading some stuff. Sean Payton talking about his quarterback competition that's going on there in Denver.
Yes.
He likes what he sees out of the 12th overall pick. Bo Nix, top three rookie quarterback this year.
I think that's not an overreaction because the other three quarterbacks might not play. So by default.
I was hoping you weren't going to put that together.
By default. Again, all I heard coming out of the draft is that Sam Darnold was told by Minnesota prior to the draft, we are going to start you even if we get some of these kids in the draft that we're targeting. If we draft a quarterback at the top of our draft in the first round, we're still going to plan to sit that kid, and we want you to become the next Baker Mayfield or Jared Goff. Go crush it. We've got a playoff-ready team. You go be the guy that we know you can be, and we'll give you a year. And that's what I'm hearing is the plan for J.J. McCarthy. We all understand that Drake May has got a lot of things to learn. Okay?
Yeah, I think so.
And I don't think you're going to see him in the first month of the season at the very least.
Yeah, hopefully not till December.
Okay, right. And so then you've got Michael Penix, who if he plays a lick this year, it's because Cousins is hurt. So by default, Bo Nix should be a top three quarterback as a rookie. That's the way I'm saying. Not an overreaction. Maybe not the reasoning you're looking for.
Sure. Orlovsky thinks J.J. McCarthy is going to be rookie of the year. So
I don't think J.J. McCarthy is going to get the time. I don't believe. Maybe I'm wrong. What else?
All right. Speaking of bags, Rich, we talked about this on the podcast last week. I wanted to bring it to the flagship show. I think the Jaguars should make Trevor Lawrence prove it before giving him a $50 million a year contract.
That's not happening. I mean, they might just give him one in the 40s. He might be a $40 million a year guy, mid-40s or something like that. But they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that.
Has
they're not going
to
make him prove
to
it.
You that he is a franchise go to the Super Bowl guy.
But that's not
around
but
with TJ
that, but that's not the metric by which these quarterbacks get paid
isn't it?
In the NFL.
Why isn't it?
Because
that's
no
a bigger
team
question.
Is going to say to Trevor Lawrence, we're done here. That's why. Because what are you going to do? You're going to go back to square one? You're going to go back to square one. With somebody as talented as Trevor Lawrence, the number of people in this league that would be like, Okay, thanks, Jacksonville, for giving us somebody who's like age 27, age 28 with this skill set walking on the free agent market. No way. It's just not going to happen. And last year, they were 8-3 on the night that his favorite receiver, all due respect to Calvin Ridley, when I met with the Jaguars prior to their one of their London games last year, all they talked about, both him, Trevor Lawrence, Coach Doug Peterson, and Christian Kirk, was the chemistry between these two guys. Christian Kirk went down in the game against the Bengals first, and then he got hurt, Lawrence, last. And the team wasn't the same since. So, I will just say that's not going to happen. Total overreaction. And I know what you're looking for. You're looking for a team that will tell somebody, we drafted you first overall, but we just haven't seen enough from you in this first contract for us to reward you generationally. That's just not going to happen.
Brock Purdy has changed the mold. Teams need to look at that and say, we can do that. We can build a super team around a guy who's good enough. We don't have to pay them all this money and eat up cap space.
Well, I think they would tell you that Trevor Lawrence is just as talented as Brock Purdy.
Who are you taking to fantasy? Trevor Lawrence or Brock Purdy?
Neither.
You would take Brock Purdy over Trevor Lawrence, and you know it.
What else you got over there, Chris?
This is another one of my favorite topics, TJ, and I know you hate it, but I'm doing it anyway.
Oh, boy.
Let's talk pressure. Quarterback under the most pressure this season.
Dak or who?
It's Deshaun Watson is under the most pressure quarterback this season.
Well, thank you, Chris. again, my only pushback on this is, to me, pressure is what Jerry Jones is trying to apply to his guy, which is like, if you don't come... it's not Dak, because Dak, I don't think will crack under that pressure because, okay, you don't want me here, I'll just make $50 million somewhere else.
Yeah, remember the Pittsburgh fans that they want.
Please, the pressure is somebody who will be... gone from a place that they want to stay in, or B, have some sort of legacy that they have an opportunity to build on or create again, like Russ. And this is a last stop. Like, no other team's going to give you a starting gig after your, this is your last stop. I would say Russell is under more pressure than anywhere and anybody in that division.
He's got a $1 million contract. He's no pressure.
I know that, but if he does not do what he needs to do this year and try and get back to the Russ of Danger Russ, then he might not get another shot to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. So that's under more pressure. However, Deshaun Watson needs to take a team that Joe Flacco took to the playoffs after coming off the couch and became the comeback player of the year. From not even having a gig on Halloween to being the trick and treat against the opponent and for the home team. So Watson has to show something, but he'll still be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns in 2025. So I'll push back on that as under the most pressure. But he's got to show something. You got one more over there, or that's about it?
I have one more, but our guest is checking in, so I want to be on time.
Very good. Thank you so much. Is that Syracuse helping Syracuse?
That is.
Okay. Because Dave Pasch, one of the finest from the Syracuse program, is joining this program. When we come back, 12 years of memories of working alongside Bill Walton. Dave Pasch chiming in from the Metroplex, where he's calling tonight's Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals for ESPN Radio when we come back. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Man, the Hoops Finals are right around the corner. How cool would it be to go to one of those games? You might even be thinking that right now. And if you are, I've got the solution for you. Game Time makes getting finals tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off. You get killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, meaning no surprises on the final cost. Views from your seat, which means no surprises on your view of the court. The lowest price guarantees also there from Game Time, which takes the guesswork completely out of buying basketball tickets, certainly when it's the biggest event around for hoops, the finals. Take the guesswork straight out. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account and redeem my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Enjoyed listening to this this man over the weekend as he's calling the Western Conference Finals for ESPN Radio. Game 4 is tonight, but we're having him on mostly to go down memory lane for somebody we all love and adore and are gutted about his passing. The man who spent 12 years at the mic with Bill Walton, Dave Pasch, here on the Rich Eisen Show. My condolences, Dave.
Thanks, Rich. That picture you showed going to break really tells you what working 12 years with Bill Walton does to a man, because I had a full head of hair and it was nice and thick and dark. Yes. And here I am. We look very much alike these days.
No, hey, man, listen, the brotherhood, and we're part of the brotherhood of loving Bill Walton, too. You know, yes. So I'll just throw you right to the curveball to start. What are you thinking about right now, Dave?
Well, it's been cathartic, Rich, to spend the last 24 hours getting a chance to talk about Bill and honor his memory with the things that made Bill tick. And that was primarily making others smile and laugh. I think when you laughed along with Bill, it made his day. He didn't take life too seriously. He certainly didn't take himself too seriously. Calling a basketball game and just talking basketball was too easy for him. He enjoyed humanizing the players, talking about the mountain ranges that were nearby, promoting the school, having fun with it. And the memories will last a lifetime. He's the type of person you don't forget. And I think, too, Rich, the tributes you're seeing from guys he played with and against, they're not really basketball centric. They're more about Bill the person. I think back to the first time I did the Pac-12 tournament with Bill. I remember a few days later, I had a sit-down interview with Steph Curry because I was doing a Warriors game, and I walk in, I sit down, and Steph looks at me and goes, "How come you didn't answer Bill's question?" I said, "Huh?" He goes, "You wouldn't answer Bill's question." I said, "Steph, what are you talking about?" He goes, "Bill asked if you've ever been inside of a volcano while it's erupting," and you wouldn't answer. And what was funny about that is that Steph thought it was funny. Like, the players respected Bill for who he was as a player, but he made them laugh and smile just like he made us smile and laugh.
So I am mandated to ask you if you ever been in a volcano while it was erupting, Dave. Did you answer the question?
we'll leave that one for the audience.
That's right.
We can't tell all our secrets.
That's right. That's so funny. Oh man. Oh man. Oh man. Your first broadcast with him was where and when? When was it?
So my first broadcast with him was actually an NBA game in 2006. So the Bill always claimed he would say that never happened. But my first year on NBA, I did five or six games with Bill, and I remember LeBron James taking off his headband as a young player. We were in Chicago, and he took it, he tossed it towards the scoreboard. And I was just happy to be sitting next to Bill and happy to be doing NBA for ESPN. And Bill starts going off. It's a technical foul, and he's just going and going and going, and I'm not saying a word. And Mike Tirico calls me the next day and says, "You have to stop him. That's your job." Mike was Bill's regular partner and obviously a master at working with anybody. And I filed that away, thinking, well, at some point that'll come in handy. And it did when we were paired together when we got the Pac-12 contract, because I came to really try and understand how to stop him. And it wasn't always successful. Sometimes I would join in, but he made me a better broadcaster in that way because, you know, you're trained. I know you guys are talking about Cuse a little bit. You're trained in a good way to call a game a certain way. And, you know, sometimes you're focused so much on that, you're not letting your personality come out. But when you work with Bill, you don't have a choice. Your personality better come out or it's not going to work. So Bill made me a heck of a lot better at a lot of things and broadcasting certainly at the top.
I love that story, Dave. Not just because that also shows who Tirico is, because he does that for a lot of folks.
And 100%.
But also just hearing this story, just I hearken back to the days when I would do SportsCenter with Stuart Scott. Massive personality, right? Just a massive personality who would, on occasion, he would just burst into my highlights as I'm reading them, right? So I'm having a certain way of thinking about this is how I'm mapping out the highlights that I'm going to do on SportsCenter. And then that plan would just go up in smoke when Stuart jumped in. And I realized after a while that, you know, I had to rein it in. It was going to be my job to stop it, if you will, but not completely, but to work off of that and understand that it does enhance what I'm doing. And it was a process. It was a complete process to work with somebody with such a massive personality and mix it all together. And, you know, I could tell as you guys evolved together, at one point you even said, you know, I didn't know where that 2 minute long story was going, but you finished well, Bill, when he was telling the story about, I think, about Danny Ainge or something like that, and how he hated backup guards.
Right.
I mean, and so I love stories like that. I really do.
Yeah, I think he said to Danny one time, the only thing worse than guards are backup guards. But and Danny's got unbelievable Bill stories. But it was the fun and the challenge, as I'm sure you had, of working with Stu, that I didn't know what to expect each night with Bill. But right. I looked forward to it because it was a new challenge. I just didn't know what was coming. We never rehearsed. I had no idea. You know, one time he gave me a big rock because there was a player for Arizona named Stone Gettings. And he pulls out this huge boulder that he'd been hiding and he gives it to me as a gift. And he says, "Here, get stoned."
What are you going to do?
He said you can do it, right?
Yeah. What can you say? Look, can most of us get away with that? No. But when you're one of the greatest players of all time and you're known for being unique and eccentric, the rules are different. They certainly were different for Bill. And we just kind of rolled with it and had the time of our lives.
Dave Pasch here on The Rich Eisen Show, remembering Bill Walton. I also saw this morning you were throwing out for all of us to chew on some texts that he would send you. What type of text would he send you, Dave? I'll give you the floor on that one.
Yeah, I wasn't sure that I was hesitant about doing that. But then I thought, you know, I kind of want people who have gotten to know Bill through television to see that Bill, what he's like off the air is the same. Like, first of all, he's loving and caring and thoughtful, but, you know, he can be a wise guy and he's an all-time ball buster. And so he would, a lot of times, if I'm calling a game, not with him, he'd be watching it and he would text me as if he didn't know I was calling the game. And so he would just say something like, "Check out this game right now. I'm not sure what channel. There's this announcer on there who's making no sense. If you have the time, check it out." Just, you know, to bust my chops. And then I just sometimes would get random texts from him like, "I'm staying up all night right now, wondering how it is you come up with these crazy things you say. Shine on." You know, just, again, showing everybody his personality. And then he sometimes texts me, "I love you. I miss you. Don't tell anybody." Because he loved people thinking we hated each other. He just such a wonderful guy, and I'll miss him dearly.
Yeah, we're seeing that one on the screen here. "You're awesome. I miss you." By the way, you have to read it in his voice, right, when you're reading his stuff?
Oh, yeah.
"I miss you. Yes. I love you. I'm sorry for the grief I caused you. I just knew it had to eventually happen. I sure don't want to play them. Please, where do they get this stuff? I may never sleep again. But I'm installing more solar panels. Now, that's a reference to what when he's talking about solar?
So, well, a couple of things. So where he says, I just knew it had to happen, mm-hmm. because I sometimes would say, you just knew they were going to make a run, and he hated that. Or you wouldn't want to play this team right now, and so he hated that too. So he would text me those things.
Okay.
And his nickname for me was Cole, and he would call himself Solar. So he would text me, hey, Cole, and then he would, you know, give the long list of things with the spacing in between, and he'd always sign off Solar. Because in his mind, you know, because we were very different, our worldviews very different, but, you know, had a great relationship and loved each other. But yeah, he kind of looked at me as somebody, oh, you're living in the past, and I'm all about the future. And so that's where he came up with the Cole Solar thing. And he would call me that all the time, not on the air. I think occasionally he did. He forgot. He would never call me Dave. So occasionally he would call me Cole. But most of the time he'd just say, what's your name again? Or who are you? Who is this? Where am I? Yeah, like this one here where he and Lori, his wife, I think that's Albuquerque, New Mexico, actually. But he texted me the picture of Cole Avenue. Said, we're nearby. And, you know, can Dave come out and play? It is Dave, right? Oh, man.
Oh, fantastic. Now, pardon me for asking, but I don't know the answer to this question. But were you in the chair next to him when he said he was milked, that he milked cows and I've been milked? Were you in the chair for that, Dave, for that one?
I was. I believe it was Tony Parker, not the Spurs Tony Parker. It was a player for UCLA a few years ago named Tony Parker, and we were talking about feeding the post. And I said something about, you know, you got to milk him in that situation. He says, you know, I love when you talk about milk. I've been milked, you know, that kind of thing. And people, of course, are like, what's he talking about? There was a context, but of course, it's more fun to take Bill with no context. And so just him saying, I love milk. I've been milked.
No, I think we have it. I think, do we have it? Hit it.
I have milked a cow before, and I have been milked.
Yeah, I mean, there it is, you know.
So ridiculous.
There was another one this year where I get it again. I did it on purpose to kind of set him up. And he said, I love when you talk about milk. You know, the last game that he and I did together is the last time I saw him. We had dinner after, but the game was at USC on February 1st. And we're messing around. George Lucas came up somehow. And so I you know, jokingly said to him, how did that audition for Chewbacca go? And he, of course, you know, just went with it completely and not only said that he auditioned for it but didn't get it, but that George Lucas fashioned the character Chewbacca in his likeness.
And that wasn't true? And that wasn't true?
Not true. We totally made it up. And, and like, People Magazine and, like, all these entertainment writers are coming, like, writing stories and, like, finding George Lucas quotes from 1978 refuting this statement, but we didn't care. Bill was like, we were just laughing. Like, I can't believe they took that seriously. It was totally made up.
So you're just riffing off of stuff that's not true. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry. I don't know if I burst your bubble there.
No, it's great. No, it's great. It's just, it means you're having a good time. And that's the perfect example of, yeah, you know, obviously people are coming to watch the game. Okay. People are coming to watch the game and being told what is going on with the action. But this sort of byplay, it's so rare in our business, Dave. It really is, man. And you know, to have somebody like Bill, have somebody like you to set him up and let him go and then rein him in, it ain't easy. And I'm sure it's not easy to talk about him in the past tense. And I saw this on your feed today, and this is the thing that really hit me, that you had a T-shirt made up that includes on the front a photo of the moment, I can't believe we haven't talked about it yet, where, you know, it was a birthday cupcake and he ate it completely off the top, with including the burning candle. And then you wrote on the back, I survived 12 years with Bill Walton and all I got was this shirt. And you had this made up for him, right?
Yeah, I was going to present it to him or wear it or something in our last game, which was scheduled to be, I think it was March 9th USC Arizona, and obviously, you know, Bill, the last game we did together was Feb 1, and we actually were not supposed to work together for about a few weeks, but then obviously Bill at that point was ill and was not working. But I still have the shirt. I just made one. Obviously, it's sad that I didn't get a chance. I did text it to him for him to see it, and he enjoyed it. Because Bill, that's what Bill liked. He liked the playfulness. He would take his headset off in the middle of games and say, "Keep coming at me. Don't stop. There's nothing you can say that will offend me. No matter what I say or what I do, know that I love you, but don't tell anybody."
So he would take his headset off and say to you, you know, keep on, you know, ribbing me or twisting
the
leg.
Coming.
Right.
Don't stop. Yeah. Just he enjoyed it. It was Lionel Hollins, who he played with on the Blazers, coached in the league for a long time, would tell me sometimes, like, Bill kind of you bring Bill back to the locker room like he's playing again, because that's how Bill was. So according to Lionel and some of his other teammates, that's how Bill was in the locker room, just messing around. So Lionel thought, and it made a lot of sense, like, because Bill will he would stretch before games. He would be drinking water and eating protein bars and all these energy chews. And he'd get up and stretch. And after the national anthem, he'd put both arms in the air and yell as loud as he could. I mean, it was like he was getting ready to play. And I guess in a way, I was the competition.
Did he have a special chair with him? Because that's what he had when I was shooting that Katy Perry music video with him. He had this big, huge metal chair because his back, he couldn't sit. Did he broadcast on that chair, Dave?
Yeah, he would bring a chair when we were somewhere where he had driven, and he could bring the chair with him. Otherwise, they'd set him up and stack, you know, three or four chairs for him, because obviously his back was in, you know, pretty bad shape. I mean, he biked and, you know, moved around well, considering all that he had been through in his life with the feet injuries and then the major spine surgery, which, you know, basically saved his life. Thanks to Jim Gray, who knew this doctor when Bill was going through a time where he couldn't move. And, you know, as Bill documented in a lot of platforms, he contemplated suicide, and you know, he and Jim were really close, and Jim knew of a doctor that was kind of in the infancy stages of this spine surgery that Bill underwent, and basically saved his life. But still, it was really challenging for him to sit that long. And so he had to have a high chair.
Yeah. I bring it up here is also because you've been so kind to share your stories. I'll briefly share mine with you, because we were shooting a Katy Perry music video together, of all things. And there we were, and I just loved being around him. I just loved the way he talked to people, and everybody couldn't get enough of him, right? And he was so, you know, open and giving and whatever. But he wanted to get home to his wife and wanted to beat the traffic down to San Diego, and the car that was sent for him was late. So I agreed to take him to his hotel where the car was going to, you know, have to go back to grab his bags from the hotel and go down. I said, "I'll take you." And he toddled down the street with that huge chair down Flower Street in downtown Los Angeles to my car. And we put it in the back of my car, just the back of the car closed just in time for it to crack. And it cracked. The windshield cracked. And Bill was like so upset about it. I saved the windshield, Dave.
Oh, my goodness.
I saved the windshield. It's now a keepsake. And then a few weeks later, I got a note from him. I'm holding it up right here. I don't know if you've ever seen the stationery from Bill Walton, right? Okay, so you've seen it. And you see a scrawl on it, and I'll read it to you. "Please, Rich," was how it started. "Please, Rich, sorry to ruin your life, career, and your car all in such a brief period of time. Thank you for your kindness, patience, sense of honor, and my life. Thanks for your moral clarity, ethics, and humanity. Shine the light, be the light, Bill Walton." And he enclosed a check for $1,000, which, of course, I never cashed, but I have kept all of it together, man. That's it.
That's fantastic. That's Bill. That's Bill in a nutshell. But that's a great story.
I mean, listen, that's my only one, but I figured I'd share it with you because that's him, right? This note is him. Yeah. You know, being he was mortified the entire 20-30 minute ride because it was downtown traffic was insane. Back to the hotel, didn't stop apologizing about the windshield. I'm like, Bill, stop. Like, I want to talk to you about all other stuff. Like, that doesn't matter. He was just awesome. 100%.
And all that is sincere. You know, one of the things that Bill, sometimes when Bill was going through a difficult time, and I've heard this from friends of his, that, you know, knew him really well when he was going through the mental illness and the depression, you know, 15 years ago, that, you know, he would isolate sometimes when things didn't go well. And when UCLA left a few years ago and then the Pac-12, you know, there were times where Bill wouldn't respond to texts or emails. And then, you know, with the illness that Bill had been dealing with, you know, sometimes respond, sometimes wouldn't. And I think because he felt like he was being a burden, or he was embarrassed by it. And so when he says to you, Rich, like, I'm so sorry, how can I make it up to you? Like, it's sincere. He feels genuinely badly. Hmm. And I think he just wants you to know that he'll keep repeating it because he feels genuinely badly about it, even though obviously it was completely accidental.
Yeah.
And he just kind of puts that on himself.
Yeah, I know. That was really just a remarkable moment. And just the one last thing, just that needs to be hammered home. This guy had a stutter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the stories that he would tell and the way that we're all remembering his ability to tell stories and just be wacky or goofy. He overcame a stutter. And it's just one of the most remarkable. That it could be one of his most remarkable achievements. Forget, obviously, what he did on the quarter as a broadcaster. The fact is he overcame a stutter. And I'm sure you probably witnessed him talk to people about that and try and help kids and other people. I'm sure you must have, Dave.
Absolutely. Yeah, Bill was incredibly charitable with his time, very involved with Challenge Athletes Foundation. But he had time for anybody that wanted to talk about any ailment that they had. And Bill, you know, dealt with a lot. So Bill could relate and they could relate to Bill. And I mentioned earlier, Rich, the routine that he had before the game. And part of that routine was he would chew gum for about 30, 45 minutes. And one time I asked him, he never wanted to talk to me before the game. He just wanted everything to be spontaneous. Hmm. And so he just wanted no interaction with me at all. But I remember asking him about it. He said it was something, I think it was Marty Glickman that helped him get through the stuttering. And it was part of it was the chewing gum and the moving of the mouth to kind of warm it up for the broadcast.
Man. Dave, really appreciate your time, your stories, and you know, my condolences as you're calling a game tonight. I'm sure there'll be something, I imagine, prior to the game where the NBA will pay their respects. And let's have you back on to talk some hoops next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. Bill was one of a kind, so honored to talk about him.
You
appreciate
bet.
It.
Right back at you. That's Dave Pasch calling tonight's game on ESPN Radio. From Dallas. Ooh. Telling stories about great. Bill Walton. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH. Your phone calls when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Fill the grill and fire up the party, people. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food's going to look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You'll cook on two levels at the same time so you can make enough for everyone. You can add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill today. Raider Mike is on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Raider Mike?
What's up, Rich?
What's going on, sir?
I grew up in Oakland and Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Bill Walton's bike get stole. That's my best story. But the man was a mess here. My cousin, I'm going to steal his thunder. He's going to call Rip City Radio later on today.
Yep.
But he has the best Bill Walton story. He goes to the ballpark with my uncle, him and his brother. Uncle buys some Oreos. They got two bags of Oreos and some milk. You could do that. Portland Beaver, man. Sits down. Bill Walton's right next to him. Bill's like, he's got some red eye going. And he goes, what's in the bag?
Red eye going.
He goes, some Oreos. Can I have one? Oh, hell yeah. He just brought us a title, bro. No, they're all yours. So, anyway. It was a mythical place at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Oakland when they won three straight. Free agency didn't happen. They won 10. And then I watched that team win that title and bring this Portland onto the map. That's what Bill Walton did. Throw it down, big man. the guy was just amazing.
The best. Really the best.
This one hurts.
I know.
I lost Jim Otto right before my birthday.
Thank you,
and
sir.
Right after it, this. So, anyway, Rich, you and your wife kill it.
Thanks, Raider Mike. I appreciate you saying that, and I appreciate your 2 cents here, and certainly thanks for the call from Portland, where I don't know how many folks are talking today about Bill's contributions to Portland, Oregon. Yeah. Today, you know, we're talking about his broadcasting career or his UCLA career. I even mentioned the Celtics, but this man brought a title to Portland.
And Rich, what Mike said about MVP. His bike getting stolen, I remember watching a video, of course, years after, where Bill was at the parade celebrating the Trailblazers championship. Mm-hmm. And he got on the mic and he asked, he said, hey, whoever stole my bike, can you bring it back? It's my only way to get home. Like, so someone really did steal his bike. And, you know, if you've never seen the 30 for 30 on Bill Walton on ESPN, I can't recommend that enough. It's, if you're a fan of his, if you don't know anything about him, you need to watch that, because he was the type of guy today, guys, who a lot of people would call woke, because he believed in so many things and he championed for people's, you know, indigenous people's rights, you know, people of color's rights.
Mm-hmm.
He truly was a one of one. Another funny story, he's drafted number one in 1974 by the Trailblazers.
Yeah.
I got this from the documentary. He is backpacking across the country at the time. He goes into a store because he ran out of food. The guy behind the counter tells him, Bill, I heard on the radio you just got drafted number one by the Portland Trailblazers.
That's how he found out.
That's how he found out. He was backpacking across the country and went to go get food. And a grocery store guy told him.
That's amazing.
Can't make it up.
Perfect.
Really it makes sense. When
can't
you,
make it up.
But yeah, please, if you haven't watched that, it's so amazing. And the guy was just—he was one of one.
And I'm sure there are. I mean, you could see all the tributes everywhere. Somebody's got a story about having met Bill Walton, or they remember what Bill had to say on a broadcast, or how crazy it was. The things coming out of his mouth and the Grateful Dead stories, because you know he was a big Deadhead. Him telling a story about taking the 86 Celtics to a Dead show.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those Weekend Golf Guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.